Genesis chapter 33, and beginning at verse 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalom, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, and he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. He bought a parcel of a field, where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohim Israel, chapter 35 and verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings, which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Verse 9, And God appeared unto Jacob again. Verse 14, And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stool. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. Jacob called the name of the place which God spake with him, Bethel. May God bless to us these portions that we have read together. Now I awoke this morning, and the scripture came before me, and I would like to apply it first of all to myself, and hopefully for all who have been attending these conference meetings. And it's this verse that the Lord brought before us in John chapter 13 at the time of the foot washing. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do that. It's like the preaching of the gospel. If the sinner doesn't get to the place where by faith they obey the message of the gospel, they'll come and go without the great blessing of salvation. But that is true of believers. I don't suppose we ever, and I never come to a conference, but I am touched at various messages that are brought before us. But I find all too soon, after a few days, maybe a few weeks, the sensitivity of those messages is leaving me. And I believe Jacob here is an example of that. When it comes to the Abraham, it's the God of all faithfulness. When it comes to the Isaac, it's the God of promise. When it comes to Jacob, it's the God of all grace. And surely, as we read the life story of Jacob, I can picture myself like him in many ways. He certainly needed the grace of God. Let's go back in our thinking to chapter 27 of the book of Genesis, and he's manipulating like old Jacob the supplanter, and he comes away with a birthright. And finally, in a way that is not honoring to God, he comes away also with a blessing. Because of that, circumstances has caused him to leave his family, never sees them again except Esau. And he lies in a place in chapter 28, and our brother Spears has already been bringing the truth of this before us in Genesis chapter 28. The place is Bethel, the place of revelation. Our brother Gray has been speaking about reverence. It was the place of reverence, and it was the place of restoration. The place of revelation. He got the revelation, I'm sure, of the wonderful truth of the gospel. But in the fullness of time, someone came out of heaven and down to earth, because this ladder touched earth and it reached heaven. That is incarnation and exaltation, and that's the very basis of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was raised again the third day according to the scripture. But it was a place of reverence. And I believe the fear of God was produced in his heart. And I remember in our days when we were still Calvinists, and in many ways I'm still a Calvinist. But there's two things that we did experience by way of our upbringing. Although we were not converted, I wasn't saved until my 23rd, almost my 24th year. At this conference, 37 years ago, as a poor, lost religious sinner, although we knew something by way of our upbringing, of the fear of God, reverence for the Trinity, and in the home, where the Word of God was read at every meal and prayer before and after, that is the way we were brought up, and we still practice that. It's a good practice. Yet we were without Christ, because there was a fear of God that was instilled in our hearts, but there was no ladder, there was no link with heaven until that night. Thank God through John 3 and verse 36. Our brother Albert Joyce, after hearing the gospel preached by Brother Theodore Williams and Sidney Maxwell, it was Brother Albert Joyce that brought that scripture before me. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And at that time, we were brought savingly to trust his Son. But you know, he got a revelation of the house of God at Bethel. He called it Bethel, the house of God. But he soon left it. And he doesn't come back at least for 20 years. Now, brethren, our former brother, Gray, that just spoke, mentioning those that have left local assemblies, where we're also a part of. But brethren, let's not give them up. God never gives them up. He never gave Jacob up. Others would have said, well, he's a write-off. But not with God, it's the God of all grace, and he's dealing with Jacob. And we'll go on to see the circumstances that bring Jacob back to the very place he left. Because if Bethel has been revealed to us, we're really never going to be satisfied with all the side things that others would seek to grant and give to these that have left. So chapter 8, he leaves Bethel. In chapter 29 to 31, because he has left Bethel, only one thing remains for him, and that is his own house. And he's busy building his own house, his own family, but not the family, not the house of God. Until we come to chapter 32, and by that time he's beginning to move back again to Bethel, but it still takes him time to get back there. And God is going to have to teach this man, Jacob, that if he's going to get back to Bethel, it cannot be in the energy of the flesh. Your name, Jacob, must be changed, and it was changed to Israel. But he never walked and never moved in the power of the new name. And so it is with us, brethren. We're called Christians. Are we walking in the good and the power of the new name that has been applied to us, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so we find that although he gets his name changed, we come down to that portion that we began reading. Notice chapter 33. We began at verse 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth. I said that he didn't walk in the good of his new name. He's still Jacob because the supplanter, the deceiver. Because he already said, and I read before you verse 14, what he said to He saw his brother. After he sends his family and fans across and with the gifts, you know the whole story of it we read in verse 14. Let my Lord, as they're going to separate, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant. And I will lead on softly according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Sire. And notice in verse 16, so Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But where was Jacob? Not in Seir. He didn't keep his promise. He's not at Seir. He's in Succoth. And Succoth is not Bethel. Because we read in Succoth in verse 17, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house. Here's that so-called pilgrim and stranger. He's most unlike Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac, as far as I can read in the scripture, never built a house. But Jacob is building a house. Why, brethren? He's left the house of God, and then all the emphasis is got to be on our own house. I don't mean that four-sided building, because you couldn't live in a tent away up in the northern parts of BC or in Ontario. We'd freeze to death. But you get the impression that he's busy with his own interest, his own family. We three are no more. Instead of the house of God. But, you know, God is working in this man, and he has no rest in Succoth, so he moves on. As we can read in verse 18, and Jacob came to Shalem. Means peace. Wonderful place, I suppose. He thought, a city of Shechem, and it's in the land of Canaan. But, brethren, it's not Bethel. He's still not to the place where he vowed unto his God that if he would preserve him and be faithful to him, he would come back to that place. But he's loath to come back. In fact, even when you read on in these few verses, you think everything's pretty good with Jacob, because let's read on. He comes to Shechem in verse 18, when he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent. You'll say, well, at least he's not in the house. He's in a tent. There's a bit of the pilgrim character coming to view. But listen, brethren, he bought the land. There's a sense of permanency here. We heard this morning that Abraham bought a parcel of land, but not to live there, not to set his tent up. But it was a need to be fulfilled. His wife had died. And so he bought a burial place. But not this man, Jacob, because he's not where God wanted him. And yet he goes on, as you read in that verse, verse 19, he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Oh, it looks so good in verse 20. And he erected there an altar and called it Eloi, Israel. Now, that's not the nation of Israel. He's only speaking about himself. You see, he's got his altar up. Oh, listen, it's just an outward form of religious observances. Because he's still amongst the uncircumcised. How can you have an altar in the world, brethren? It looks good, but it's still not good. We can go through the form of having our religious exercises at home and in the assembly. If that's all it is, that we come and go from the assembly because it's a habit, and I agree with my brethren, wherever we go, I'm sure our ministry brethren and those that are overseers, myself included, we encourage the people of God to be faithful. Listen, brethren, faithfulness needs to be encouraged by the good word of God. Give them something that encourages faithfulness. We just don't go to the assembly because others go to another place. We go there because his presence should be felt. That's with Jacob too. He's not got the fear of God there in Elohe Israel. He's got his altar up, but it's just a makeshift altar. The real altar will come in chapter 35. When God begins to move this man to be restored to the place that he had left. And you know what shocks him, brethren and sisters? It's chapter 34 that I omitted to read. What is shocking this man?
All things are coming in that he's not aware of. It already came in by his wife. She had an idol under her, remember, upon the back of that camel. In earlier chapters, when they left Laban. And things are coming into the home and he's not aware of, not conscious of, and there's no power to keep it out. There's Dinah in the following chapter. Let's notice it, verse 1. Chapter 34 and verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land, placing herself in a vulnerable place. There's no real separation here. There's the outward form of an altar. But it's not an altar that has preserved this man and his family. If Jacob had been back in Bethel, what happened to Dinah would have never happened, and also the son. He goes out, and Tamar's son views a virgin movie. No separation here. Have to tell a boy or a girl to go away, I'm a Christian. They ought to be able to see it by my deportment, and by my lifestyle, and also by my dress. The woman goes out, defiled by Hamor. And the two sons, you read about them in chapter 34 to the end, that's Levi and Simeon. And they go down, and they try to apply to the uncircumcised the rite of circumcision. That which marked Israel as a separated, a sealed people, a company separated from all the others, they're going to apply that mark of separation on the ungodly. When the unsaved come amongst us, brethren, they should see that God of the truth is amongst us. We don't have to tell them to go. We want them to come under the sound of the Word of God. But we're not to make friendship. We should be friendly. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against Christ? Friendly, well, but no friendship. What have we in common with the unconverted, other than to win them for whom Christ died? You say Jacob put up his altar in chapter 33. Well, notice, in the end of chapter 34, when the thing is all past, and the two sons, they take the city and kill all the males. Notice what Jacob says. Chapter 34 and verse 3. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me. Notice the emphasis on Jacob all the way through here. Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, the son shall he deal with our sisters with a harlot. Where's the honor of the Lord, of God, Jehovah here? It's all Jacob. Why, brethren? He's building his own house. He's occupied with his own things. And he doesn't read. Realize the dishonor that has been brought to the name of Jehovah God. I think this impresses me. I know it's a two-edged sword. I'm glad of a sister that said yesterday, and this is an open confession. I'd like to be honest too, as our brethren are seeking to be. And if this sister and brother in the meeting, I'm very thankful for what you said yesterday. I don't know if I have been giving the wrong impression about my family and the way I'm bringing them up. I hope it's in the right attitude and the consciousness that I'm a weakling and trusting God to save them, and not only save them, that they might be men and women of God. That is all our aspirations as parents that have children. As your sister says, we're looking forward to the day when your children get older. My only oldest is 14. When they become teenagers, well, brother, and I see it already. I can't even wait till that time. I fear I'd rather shed my tears now. I phoned my wife here Friday night. And how's everything? Oh, she said, everything's lovely here. I said, yes. She says, I sent them all to bed, all five of them. at 7 o'clock, and I'm having a nice, restful, quiet evening. I said, what's the matter? Oh, he says, the boys were teasing the girls, and one was crying. He says, I said, thank God, she sent them all to bed. I said, tomorrow night, do the same thing, have quiet evening. My children are not angels, brethren. I can see trends in them that are towards the world if you let them go. I realize it. But listen, brethren, if Jacob had been in Bethel, Dinah would never have been attracted by the ungodly. Jacob is responsible here, as well as this girl, Dinah. If she had had a testimony of God in her soul, the boy, the son of Hamor, would never have approached her. That's the side of it. When I say leaving Bethel, I mean the sensitivity of Bethel. Glad our brother said, his brother Joyce, that we're gathered 7 days a week to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in our gatherings in the assembly. When we come together as in assembly capacity, it's only to give expression of where I'm living and how I'm living during the week. Jacob's altar in chapter 33, it's no further than this. God has blessed me. God has been faithful to me. It's all well and good. I am thankful. Ah, brethren, there's far more to an altar than just being thankful for the things we have got. What about the things we should give back to them? That's where Bethel comes in. Now, after Jacob gets this part, the close of 34, notice what God says. It's time now. God has shocked this man Jacob out of his bosom. The thing that happened with Dinah and his two sons has let him see the real, it's really Jacob and not Israel that is at work. Now we read in chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Not just go back to Bethel. Well, not in Succoth. Not in Shechem. That's only a halfway house. It's got to be in Bethel. And notice, and make there an altar. And it's going to be a different altar. That's going to be the altar that we read about in verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. That's just not the God of Israel. That's speaking of himself. This is the God of the house of God. And brethren, that's the place where the gifts are manifested. That's where God reveals himself, because up until his altar in chapter 33, there's no appearances of God to Jacob. But when he goes back to Bethel, and it's really at his heart to go back to Bethel, God appears unto this man. Brethren, we've got to have appearances of God through his word by his spirit to our hearts as believers. Not just say so many years ago, I trusted Christ. How is it today? Is the word of God speaking to me? I must say, brother, conference has done me a world of good. Because it's an inward thing as well. Because when we read here, and God says to Jacob, you gotta get back to Bethel, Bethel realizes now, things are not right in my life and in the home life, and I am responsible. And he says here in verse 2, then said Jacob, then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange God. He knew before the one of his wife leaving Laban, but he didn't know of the others. But he says, put away the strange God that are with him. Imagine their God was to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And be clean. I would suggest that those gods are inward. They would be in the tent at this time, and nobody else would see him. But there's something else that is outward, because whatever we are inward, it manifests itself outward. If we are worldly in our thinking, we will be worldly in our attitude to the things around us. If I am a spiritual person inwardly, it'll come out and manifest itself openly. And he says, not only the strange gods, that which is inward has got to be put away. He says, then change your diet. Brother Wilson has been touching on that. We know that just to change your garments on the outside doesn't not going to make you a spiritual person. But I'll tell you, when you get into Bethel, and when the fear of God comes into the heart,
And there's a lot of things that we didn't realize we're not honoring to the Lord when we leave Bethel, leave His presence, because then I'm vulnerable, then the influences of the world are going to affect my life. And so He does that. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. Now notice, in verse 5, we read, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. What a difference now! In chapter 33, it was another terror. It was the terror of Jacob. Notice, coming back to chapter 33, let's go into about the middle of the verse. Verse 30, chapter 33, verse 30. He says, they shall gather themselves together against me, that is the uncircumcised, and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. But now that he's coming back in God's way, in God's time, it's not Jacob full of terror. It's the nations all around him, they're fearing to touch him. And that's the truth of the first day of the Acts. None other durst join themselves to him. The terror of God was upon. And then we read in verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. It's the God of the house of God. And now the first appearance takes place in a real way. And it says, because there, he's referring back to Genesis 28, because there at Bethel, God appeared unto him. And now we read in verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again. When it comes to Genesis chapter 22, we read about Jacob that the sun set upon Jacob. It was a darkness that stayed with him until chapter 32. When the sun rose upon Jacob, and then he's an up and down experience, but thank God, when it comes to this portion, chapter 35, Jacob left Bethel, the house of God, but he got back to El Bethel, the God of the house of God, and when we see this, brethren, we don't really read about him ever leaving that place again, because God's intentions were they should